From the Russ Center for Media in downtown Cape Girardeau, welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. I'm Dan Woods with KRCU Public Radio. Today we're talking with Southeast President Dr. Carlos Vargas. Dr. Vargas,
good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good to see you.
Very good. Thank you.
It's been a little while since we've talked, so we have several topics we'd like to talk about today. Let's start with the budget. We talk about the budget a lot on the program. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a new fiscal year, so let's talk about how last year ended and what you see coming for this new fiscal year we're now in.
Okay, very good. Well, as you know, in fiscal year 18, we actually had a budget cut of about 9%. Initially, it was 6.58, but there were some withholdings mm-hmm. that the government imposed, and so at this point, we ended up with fiscal year 18 with a 9% cut. For this year, for fiscal year 19, it appeared that we were going to have an additional 10.1% cut. The governor had proposed that. As you may know, there were a number of conversations and events that took place that ended up having that cut not materialize. The governor stepped down, and the new governor actually signed a bill where we actually basically end up with a budget, so our funding will be the same as ended up being in fiscal year 18. There were a lot of conversations with the legislature, and eventually the House and the Senate came together, and we all agreed that we would have our cut that the governor had proposed restored, that 10.1% that I mentioned okay. before. And that we would be committing to not increasing tuition more than 1%. The CPI index, the CPI actually called for us to be able to increase it to 2.1%. But in reality, we ended up with a 1% increase in tuition. I mean, we're happy because we're not taking the maximum amount that we could increase tuition, and that benefits the students yeah. and the families in Missouri. But that's where we ended up. So we essentially are going to end up with a flat budget compared to fiscal year 18.
And I guess with 19, there's always a chance, depending on what state revenues are like. So I guess there's probably always a continual evaluation, planning, just to be ready for anything that might come up, right?
These days you really cannot assume that things are fixed. I think that increasingly we realize that having a budget one year at the beginning of the fiscal year doesn't necessarily ensure that you're going to end up with a budget of that amount. You need to look at how the economy is moving. Increasingly, the technology allows us to monitor technology basically on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. and the governor is always looking at where we are so that we don't end up with a deficit in the end, that the state doesn't end up with a deficit. So the potential for additional either withholdings or similar, I guess, is there. So we never take it for granted. We understand where we are starting. It's the same place as we were last year in fiscal year 18, mm-hmm. After, of course, the 9% cut. So we're 9% below where we were at in fiscal year 17. But nevertheless, we continue to monitor where we are. And, of course, we're doing everything we can to make sure that we enhance our revenue at the university.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, along those lines, one of the things I've noticed, just as a layperson watching the media, it seems to me that a lot of institutions around our area are advertising more. I see more billboards. I hear more radio ads. I see more commercials. And I guess part of this is recruitment. Mm-hmm. I guess everybody, because of the budget situation that a lot of institutions were in, started to advertise more. What are we doing? What's the University of Southeast doing to attract more students?
Right. Well, yes, you said it right. You know, marketing is a fascinating field.
Yes,
it really turns out that that it is important to market what you have, and it is important. I guess market is a technical name, but basically what you're saying is you need to let people know who you are and what you bring to the table. And so in our case, for us universities, we need to let families and students that are in the process of applying for college know who we are and what is it that we offer them, and why is it something it's important for them to consider what we're doing and where they are going. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is trying to, in many ways, compete with other institutions throughout the state, but also out of state. Right now, recruitment takes place everywhere, you know. And so we are trying to make sure that we take advantage of our brand. As you may know, in 2015, we launched, right before I came to Southeast, we launched the Will to Do brand. Correct. Which has been very successful for us. You know, 3 years into it, we felt that we needed to refresh the brand, and so we're doing that with the same company that that helped us the first time around. I mean, we're doing it with them because they have the knowledge and the expertise of what we did the first time around. Mm-hmm. That probably will not happen. We're going to be broader in terms of asking for proposals in the future, but for the time being, we felt that it was important to rely on their expertise for doing that. So we're spending some money, not as much as other institutions. If you hear what the other institutions across the state are doing, in some cases they're exceeding $1 million, close to $2 million, right, spent only in marketing the institution and what they do. Okay. And what they offer. We're not able to do that, and so we need to rely on people knowing us and understanding what a great quality of education we provide at Southeast.
Well, because marketing, as you know, it costs money, and sometimes a lot of money, depending on what form of media you choose to use.
That's
but
right.
You still have to find a way to get the word out.
You do. You cannot just assume that people are going to know who you are automatically. We need to make sure that we let people know who we are and what we offer. So that's why we need to continue to be innovative, and we need to tell people what we're doing that is innovative, that is going to really help the students here at the university be career ready, which is what we continuously emphasize, that we produce students that are really ready for their careers. And actually, when you think about Governor Parson and his area of emphasis, the two areas that he has highlighted has been infrastructure and also workforce development. And, you know, the universities are clearly an important player in the field of workforce development.
The workforce development, we could probably do a whole show on that and, mm-hmm. and then some, because that's a big topic, because the universities have a unique place mm-hmm. working with the businesses, and I know that's something we've talked about before, the university, Southeast, trying to find out from our area what the businesses are looking for, what they need.
Yes, and we are doing that very aggressively. We're working with the Chamber of Commerce here in CAPE, and we need to work with industry and businesses around the region to make sure that they understand that they can come to us. And we are going to them, too. We're not just waiting and sitting back waiting for them to come to us. We're going to them, asking them, you know, what is it that we can help with to provide, to help you fill those positions that you, in your business, that you need qualified people and talent in.
It's an ongoing process, and there's a lot of work back and forth to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about An American Hero, which was co-written by one of the students here at the university, mm-hmm. And they're performing that in New York this mm-hmm. month. A very exciting opportunity for our faculty and students here at Southeast Missouri State.
Yes, it's a really fantastic development. Professor Kenneth Stilson wrote the play with Cody Cole, who is an O'Fallon, Missouri student. He was a student at the time. Now he's graduated. But we're going to have 30 university students and some faculty go to New York City. They submitted this play, this musical, to the New York Musical Festival. And out of over 200 entries, they were selected. And I understand we are the only university that actually was selected.
Really?
To.
Didn't know that.
And so they're going to present a total of 5 performances at the end of July. It's July 23rd, 26th, 27th, and 29th in Off Broadway, very close to Times Square. It's called Theater Row, 410 West 42nd Street, and. You know, for the students that are participating in it, and of course for our program, it's an amazing recognition that we have the quality of faculty and students here that can put together a play like that and competitively be selected to perform off-Broadway in New York City.
Well, and to get to go to New York, the students will develop contacts in the industry, so it really sets them to sort of launch their careers.
Absolutely. I understand there's at least 2 major recruitment firms that are going to be attending some of the performances because they're interested in seeing some of our students perform. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with a couple of students that may get interviews for jobs and the field. So. It really is a feather on our cap, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say that. The first thing I thought of, you think of sports and recruiters, they come watch games.
Yes.
But I guess in this, it's the same thing,
it's
sort
the
of,
same
they come
thing.
To watch. And
it's the same thing. It's fantastic. I know some of the students. There's going to be actually 2 rehearsals here, dress rehearsals here next week. They're at no cost. You just have to, attend and... we're looking for donations too because making that trip with 30 students and some faculty to New York City is not cheap. Yeah. But we want people to have an opportunity to see the play at least in the dress rehearsal mode and hopefully somebody will make a trip there with us. We're going to be there. My wife and I, Pam and I, are going to be there. We are actually going to take advantage of that visit and have an alumni reception in New York City. Also, because we do have a significant number of alumni in that city, so we're going to take the opportunity to connect with them.
But, you know, I'm always amazed. There's Southeast alumni are all over the country, so that's nice that opportunity is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something just sort of a neat thing to happen. And there was a USO show. Earlier this month, I know that Jerry Ford and his orchestra played, and that was a help to raise funds to help make this trip possible.
Thing. Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was a nice event for the community to enjoy, mm-hmm. So that's exciting news. So let's stay at the River Campus for a moment and talk a little bit about this upcoming season. I think it's the 12th?
The 12th season, yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's this River Campus, I guess, was started in 2007. And now we're going into our 12th
season. I remember
that.
It's,
I wish I would have been here, but I wasn't. But certainly Dr. Dobbins and people who were here at the time deserve a lot of credit for what was done, and the city too, because this was an effort that brought the city and the state and the university together. Wonderful experience.
Well, what kind of productions can we expect?
Well, we have a number of them. For example, we have Turn It Up, The New Sound of New Orleans, Evita, and Rent. That's for the Bank of Missouri Touring Series.
Okay.
Then we have Jesus Christ Superstar, Sister Act, Othello, and the Rhodes 101 Stops, and the Commerce Bank Conservatory of Theater and Dance Series. Then we have Handel's celebrated masterpiece, Messiah, and Verdi's world-renowned Requiem. Perform as part of the Cuba Financial Southeast Missouri Symphony Series. And we're going to actually have the Great Russian Nutcracker by the Moscow's Ballet.
Oh, that's very popular. I think that's been here several times.
Several times.
Well received.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have other special events. I think we're going to have a performance by country music Gene Watson, who is a legend.
Yeah.
And the Paper Doll Militia in Warped, an aerial theater experience embracing the mysteries of time. So very suggestive, very exciting. So
what's interesting about the River Campus is, especially mainly for the productions that are done by our students, it's just good experience for them, again, that leads into things like An American Hero. So they have all of this background and this real world experience that we talk about a lot, and hands-on and doing things.
It is, and one of the things that I think we need to point out is that it's just really difficult to imagine a community of the size of Cape having this kind of performances, the quality and the variety of performances that we are presenting through the River Campus. So I hope that the community will continue to rally and attend and benefit and enjoy these performances, which are really unusual, as I said, for a community of the size of Cape.
And they just had their fifth Summer Arts Festival at the River Campus over the summer, and that went well. I think there were, I heard 4,000 maybe in attendance, maybe more than that. Another opportunity for the community to come down and to get involved in the arts, which is an important part of what the university does, get involvement from the community.
Absolutely, yes. A lot of children there benefiting from that and enjoying art. And as we know, you know, art is such an important discipline, and it gives so much to those children as they mature. So combining arts and technical careers and professional careers is what the university is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have to say I truly believe that this community is very lucky to have an institution like Southeast Missouri State University right in the city.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Governor Parson's recent visit to Cape Girardeau and to the Barton Agricultural Research Center, and he took questions, I understand, at this event. I know you were there, and, you know, agriculture and infrastructure. So tell us about that visit and what the governor talked about.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was happy that I had an opportunity to be there. He met with a group of farmers and leaders from the region. He came to the Barton Agricultural Research Center, and he had a roundtable discussion, talked a little bit about what his interests were, and he talked about the importance of infrastructure, broadband access, which, of course, as we know, is so important these days to mm-hmm. have access to high-speed internet is actually very, very critical. He talked about, and the conversation, this issue of safe water came up. Skilled labor, of course, workforce development, financial security for farmers, agricultural education is also an area that is very important, and just the future of agriculture programs. So he is very concerned with our infrastructure, with the ability to have good roads, bridges, rail lines, and ports to get our agricultural products to market. That's so important. And he also advocated for the private sector to partner with Missouri colleges and universities to prepare students with the tools they need to be successful in the workforce. And that's something that is a responsibility that we at Southeast Missouri State University take very seriously. And I had an opportunity to make a few comments. Dr. Julie Weathers, the department chair for agriculture, mm-hmm. also made a few comments. But I indicated to the governor that we were willing and ready to be helpful, that we wanted to be part of the solution. And so we're excited about the opportunity to engage the governor and the state in general in promoting workforce development and training.
Well, you know, he's a former cattle farmer, mm-hmm. and now governor. So he has a unique perspective, I would imagine, on agriculture and farming in the state, which is a big thing, especially in our region. And Southeast has always, our agriculture program has been going strong for many, many, many years.
Many years. And we're working very hard to strengthen it even more as we speak. But you could tell that the individuals that were in the roundtable, the farmers, really felt comfortable with him. I was impressed with him. He's a very real person, very simple, very straightforward, and so I was happy to have an opportunity to express to him how our university here is willing to step up and be helpful.
I would imagine that not only here but all the institutions can, this private sector partnership can happen all over the state, and that has to be something that on that level, on a magnitude of the whole state, can really make an impact statewide.
I think so. I think that if, and that's why he was talking about having the private sector work with the universities and the community colleges around the state to make sure that we all contribute to prepare the talent for tomorrow. And I think that's something that we are actually working very hard on doing that, and we've had some successes here at Southeast. We're very proud of.
Well, and now agriculture has gotten more technologically advanced, because now farmers are using all kinds of technology, including drones,
yes,
to look at their crops and do things maybe they couldn't do otherwise. And of course, the university is involved in that, trying to stay ahead of the curve, right, and look,
yes,
ahead to what things might be coming down the line.
Yes, I what I hear from farmers, people in the agriculture industry, is that the general people, the individual, doesn't necessarily understand how technologically advanced agriculture is these days. No longer are we have this image of the somebody working the field with the, you know, with some tools, and now you have these tractors that are based on, that have global positioning system devices,
yeah,
and drones and all that. So
I drove a tractor a few times when I was younger, and we didn't have anything like that in there.
I didn't. I wish I would have been able
to
do that. So
you wouldn't have wanted to ride with me. I was a little dangerous driving a tractor, but it was fun. Dr. Fargus, this was good talking with you today.
Thank you very much, Dan. A pleasure.